We're going to complete Hebrews this week. After we complete Hebrews, then I think we're going to be moving on into looking at missions and do some topical preaching on missions. But between now and Missions Conference, which was the 1st through the 4th of November, so the month of October is going to be taken up with a fair amount of missions preaching to lay the groundwork for our missionary. But today we're going to finish the book of Hebrews. That doesn't mean that we will have fully covered everything in the book of Hebrews. We skim through a lot, but I think we've done a fair assessment of it, and we've, I think, been faithful to the author. Remember, the real author is not the writer, but the one who inspired the writer. Hebrews chapter 13, starting with the 18th verse. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written you only a short letter. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released. If he arrives soon, I will come with him to see you. Greet all your leaders and all God's people. Those from Italy send you their greetings. Grace be with you all. Let's pray. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would come and be manifestly present here right now, that you would speak through me and encourage each person who hears this message. Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds to you and your word, that you would give us understanding of these scriptures and show us how to apply them to our lives. Lord, might we not become focused on the jot and the tittle, but instead, Lord, might we truly seek to have hearts after you. May we truly, truly seek your face and seek to be obedient to you and your will in everything that we do. Now, Lord, I pray for myself that as I come and preach here, that your anointing would be upon me, that I might speak your word in truth and in power. Lord, might nothing I say be contrary to your word, and might everything here be a blessing to your people. Now, Lord, bless us all. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to jump down to verse 23 before I get going on the rest of it, and just touch on this for a moment. Is that it says, I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released. If he arrives soon, I will come with him to see you. One of the reasons why it is put forward that Hebrews was not written by Paul is, one, you know, obviously that nowhere in letters that say that Paul wrote it, where he always signed his letters from Paul, or at least the other letters that we have from him, that we've attributed to him. But here, refers to Timothy as his brother. Paul's common reference to Timothy was as his son, as he was his spiritual son. But here we see somebody who sees Timothy as a brother in the ministry. And this person, we see also here from looking at this letter, is in Italy, or at least those in Italy are saying hello. He's sending greetings through him. And he hopes to be with him soon. And Timothy's going to be coming to pick him up. It's somebody who either cannot or should not travel alone for whatever reason, whether it's due to health concerns or some other reasons, we don't know. But he's waiting for Timothy to come. Now, when Timothy comes, he hopes to come and see those whom he's written the letter to the Hebrews to. Now, who are we talking about? Well, we could be talking about the church in Jerusalem. We could be talking about a lot of the churches. But remember that these letters were meant to be circulated and read aloud. And this letter here would have been one that was received by the church that had basically a Hebrew congregation, one that didn't have much in the way of Gentiles who were believers, so it's much more likely we're speaking Jerusalem or somewhere in Israel. And the author, as he wrote this letter, knew that it would be read aloud to the group. So when we read scripture like this, we're not, particularly the letters, the epistles, that's just, epistle is just Greek for letter. We are doing what was intended with this letter, that it be read to the body of Christ. Now, the writer of Hebrews comes and he tells us, pray for us. He says, pray for us. In his letter. And he moves from requesting prayer to leading prayer, a congregational prayer. He says, we're sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. Later we find out that he's waiting on Timothy. But here he goes, moves into the prayer. He says, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. May he work in us what is pleasing in him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The whole point of this letter was to encourage, exhort, we see later, the Hebrews that were believers. Now, exhort is to strengthen through warning, through advice, through encouragement. And what warning, what advice, what encouragement was given through this letter? That Christ is superior. That the ministry of Jesus fulfills the law. That the ministry of Jesus as the high priest is superior to that of the Levitical priesthood. That God's grace is there and sufficient for all. That you don't have to do special things on top of receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior in order to have that benefit. Didn't have to have special foods or do special ceremonies. That is the gist of the entire letter. And the writer gets it here in one short paragraph. The whole thing summed up in that one prayer. Condenses it down. Distills it to its finest essence. and the God of peace. And through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead, our Lord Jesus. Who was ever brought back from the dead through the blood of the sacrifice on the altar of the Levitical priesthood? No one. No one. But yet we have Christ, the first fruits of the eternal life, who was brought back through His own shed blood. Great shepherd of the sheep. One who leads and guides and protects. Equipped you with everything good for doing His will. See, it's coming from God. It's not this extra stuff that's coming from externally that people are trying to add on and tack on. Saying, let God give it to you. Not some guy who comes up and says, I know what the Lord says. No. You got to have this extra stuff. You say, no. I give you everything good for doing His will. I mean, we work in us what is pleasing to Him. Our purpose for life. How many times I've heard somebody ask me, I don't know what God's will is for me in my life. May He work in us what is pleasing to Him. We're supposed to do what's pleasing to God. Well, I don't know what that is. Yes, you do. You just don't want to do it. At least I know that's what my excuse is. I know. Because it's right here. Tells us what He wants us to do. We're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to take care of the poor. We're supposed to believe in Him. And do that work that He directs us to do. Instead of doing those things that our flesh and our appetites or the world is trying to get us to do. Instead, we're supposed to do that which He's directing us to do. And this all comes in this short little letter. Because I want you to bear with my word of exhortation. Written just a short letter. It's a short letter. This thing's 13 chapters. Do you know how many books have been written that cover nothing but the Lord's Prayer? There have literally been thousands of them. There are. He's taken the entire ministry of Jesus and boiled it down to these short letter and said, here it is. Many took it and boiled it down to one short, concise prayer. He just says, I urge you to bear with. Tells us that it's not always going to be easy. You don't have to bear with something that's easy. You know, Donna called me on her way home last night and said, you know, you want to go out to dinner with Ed and Peggy? Well, I had to bear with it. You know, we were going to have Mexican food. Oh, you know, it was like, oh, terrible. It wasn't tough. I really didn't have to bear with anything. I like Ed and Peggy. I like Mexican. Now, we did have a little problem getting to the restaurant. The door was locked. That was an oops on their part. Kind of looked in the window and said, yeah, come on. Came and let us in. But no, we didn't have to. I didn't have much to bear with. Nothing there. No problem. There are some people where if Donna had said, Bruce, I want to go spend time, I'm not going to say who they are. Whether But I will tell you that some of them are in my family. I said, Bruce, we're going to go in there. I go, oh, do I have to? I don't want to. No, I got to bear with it. Sometimes it's against what my own personal desire. Saying, you know, bear with it. Put aside your own personal desire and just focus in on what I've encouraged you here. Bear with this. Look at it. Don't just dismiss it out of hand. Because we all know how easy it is to dismiss that which we don't agree with or like out of hand. You know, we see it all the time in political discussion. People talking past each other because nobody's listening to each other because we don't agree with what they've got to say. Well, we don't actually listen to what they have to say, so how do we know whether we agree or not? I've been guilty of it myself. So he's written us a short letter of exhortation. Exhortation. It's to strengthen us. This isn't an attack. It's not an attack. It's something to encourage, to strengthen. It's advice, it's warning. Don't go that direction. That's bad. You could hurt yourself. It's dangerous over there. Encouragement. Yes, yes, do that. That's the good thing. Advice. Well, you know, when you get up to the tree, if you hang a left and you keep going, you can cut an hour off of the trip instead of following the paved road around. But that dirt road, it'll go straight there. That would be advice. You can do this, and it'll help. That's what's in this letter. We've spent close to a year working our way through the book of Hebrews. Can't remember what date we started it, but I'm pretty sure it was last fall or early summer, just about a year ago. And we've had our side trips for different things, but we've keep coming back and working our way through. But in this letter, we've been told all about what God has for us. And that can be summarized with verse 25. Grace be with you all. Grace is God's unmerited favor. And that's what He's got for each of you. What He's laying out for each of those who read the letter to the Hebrews is that grace be with you all. Grace is unmerited favor. That means I get something that I didn't earn. Okay? If I go to work and I get a paycheck, that's not unmerited favor. I earned it. Grace would be like winning the Publisher's Clearing House, but I never filled out a ticket. Okay, if I filled out the ticket, I earned a chance at it. Because I at least did that. But grace is, I didn't earn any of it. I've got no claim whatsoever. But yet I got it anyways. God's favor. Now, when we say God's favor, we're not talking about a prop. So He's going to do something nice for us, though it is something nice. But God's blessing, God's presence in our lives. God's restoration of our broken relationship. Him. There's an acrostic that goes with grace. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. It's one of the better acrostics for definitions of grace. And that's what we get. God's riches at Christ's expense be with you all. Sounds a little bit more formal that way, doesn't it? But that's what's for us. That's what He has for us. That's what He's offering us. That's what the author's laid out for us. And what He's praying that we would receive. Praying that we would live in the reality of God's grace. And it's all through the person of Jesus Christ. People, this letter is titled to the Hebrews, but it does, and it is written, it is intended for us also. It does address those things in our lives too. How many times have you heard of somebody being distracted by teachings which are the jot and the tittle? People are focused in on this minutia, this detail over here, instead of looking at the fact that Jesus died on the cross so that all sins are forgiven, so that everybody who will come to Him and receive Him as Lord and Savior. See, it's not enough just to say, I believe that Jesus died on the cross. We're talking about belief that leads to action. That is receiving Him as Lord and Savior. So if I really believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, I don't need the rest of it. The law, the priesthood, those things have passed. Now we have God's grace. God's grace. It's for us today. It's not just for breakfast anymore. I got one smile too. A couple confused looks like. It's not just for Sunday school anymore. It's not just for this hour at church anymore. We like to do that with our lives, don't we? Segment our lives. Compartmentalize them. Wall one part off from another. We don't want this part of our life to come in contact with that part of our life. God wants to be and needs to be involved in every part of our life. There's no part that's too big, no part that's too small. When the writer says, grace be with you all, he's talking about with everybody, all, and also the all of who they are. May God's grace be with you all. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this letter to the Hebrews. The encouragement that we found here. The teachings of the superiority of Christ over all. The reality that Your grace is there. for us, son. Lord, might we live in that reality. Always. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as